Hello, everyone.
I'm Brana Breslin.
And I'm Dia Sharma. Welcome to Yana LV, where we're on a mission to normalize mental health discussions and foster a supportive community. Yana stands for You Are Not Alone, and that's exactly what this show is all about. Here in the Lehigh Valley and beyond, we're breaking barriers and challenging the stigma surrounding mental health. Through candid conversations, expert insights, and personal stories, we're exploring the highs and lows of mental health and well-being altogether.
Today, we're thrilled to be joined by Angie Perucci. Angie is a current senior at Moravian Academy. She's a multi-sport athlete and was the captain of the girls' soccer team this year. She's known for her leadership and dedication both on and off the field. She leads our school spirit club and participates in yoga club, promoting community and mindfulness. Inspired by her athletic experiences, she hopes to pursue a career in physical therapy to help others achieve their physical potential. So Angie, how long have you been playing sports and which sports?
I've been playing sports since I was in kindergarten, and that's when I started playing soccer, which was my first sport. And throughout elementary school, I did like gymnastics and dance and stuff, but I found most of my passion resided with contact sports like soccer, lacrosse. I started playing lacrosse in fifth grade, and I started playing for a club and my school. And yeah, throughout middle school, I would say my passion lied with soccer and lacrosse. And eventually in high school, I started running track for fun, but that was just after my injuries and stuff. So yeah.
So I noticed how you said injuries. So do you want to go more into like what happened specifically?
Yeah, so I went through two knee surgeries. The first one was the summer of my eighth grade year. So when I was going into my freshman year, I tore my ACL, my meniscus, and my MCL. So basically my whole entire knee was blown out. And then going into my junior year, I tore my ACL again, but I didn't do any of like the other like collateral stuff. It was just my ACL. So it was a little bit different of a recovery process, but essentially was kind of the same thing.
And as you said, you've been playing sports throughout your life. So the first time you tore your ACL, how did your first ACL injury affect your mental health at that time?
So at the time, this is pretty specific for the time, but it was also during COVID. So all of us, especially me, I was super isolated. I was specifically just doing online school. And the first time was a lot more isolating than the second time, just because I really had no clue what to expect with like ever feeling isolated like in my life before. Like I felt isolated with like friends and stuff before, but this injury really put me through like a lot of like battles with anxiety and like going through depression by like staying in my bed pretty much the whole day. I felt very isolated, alone, and just like sluggish.
COVID was, I think, a big thing that you mentioned about isolation.
Yeah.
And the fact that you also tore like your knee at that time, and you had to not only isolate it, but like you're also like immobile. So that's so big. And then a big time, you said it was in middle school, right?
Yeah.
And you mainly did online school. So I couldn't imagine. That must have been really hard.
Yeah, it kind of just put a stop on my life for a second. So it was also a period of my life, you know, like going into high school, like you're still trying to find yourself. So it was like, it kind of put me in like different shoes. I spent a lot more time with myself, and like I wasn't really used to that before. I was going to school every single day, 8 hours a day for my whole entire life. And then I would have sports and I'd get home around like 10 p.m. on a daily schedule. Now I was just at home all the time, usually by myself because my parents still had essential jobs. So they were still going in, and my siblings would still go into school. But since I was pretty immobilized, I did virtual school and basically just sat on my bed all day. So it was very isolating.
So what emotions did you experience when you realized that you couldn't join your teammates on the field?
I would say, I mean, obviously I felt very sad, but I would say mostly discouraged, because it was also a period of my life and like in sports where you start like the recruiting process and you're thinking about, oh, do I want to play in college? Like, could I see a future with myself in this sport? But after my injury the first time, I think I started to realize that I need to pursue different passions and things that also interest me without that contact and that just focused on my mind instead of constantly comparing yourself to others through your sport and just thinking that's what you're going to do for the rest of your life. So it kind of like put me out of that box.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, that the idea that it was like discouraging because when you had your first ACL injury, it was that time of high school. Yeah. And then when you start thinking about like high school sports, you start thinking about like recruitment and college. And but then yeah. It also allowed you to like open your horizons. So what passions did you pursue in that time?
So throughout that time, I really started, well, not so much in the beginning because the first 3 months you can't really do any movement or anything. But I wanted to try something less impactful on your body. So I started to do Pilates a lot, like 3 times a week, and yoga like 2 times a week. And that kind of like filled the void of sports at that point in my life. And it was honestly just nice to take my mind off things because I have a lot of anxiety built up. And so a way I got rid of that was I would go on a sports field and just run around for an hour and 30 minutes. But since I didn't have that anymore, I had to find ways to fill that time, and Pilates and yoga. And honestly, I started this new hobby, which is called paint by numbers, which is just like something with my hand. But again, it still like helped me a lot, like fill the time.
So do you want to like talk about what paint by number is and really why you got into it? Because I know how you were using these forms like of like yoga and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I used coloring and paint by number a lot because in the beginning I didn't just want to sit in bed on my phone the whole time. So it started with my mom bringing up coloring books throughout the day, and paint by number was more interesting than coloring for me though because it was a lot more detailed and I just like the feeling of painting better. And I just joined the paint by number club at school this year, so it was interesting to see and share it with other classmates too. So
yeah, I think a big thing like a creativity outlet is always like nice, like as much as like physical too, as you said, like Pilates and like yoga, and like I just like getting some like physical movement also like stimulates your mind and like makes you more active, but also things like paint by number like stimulates your mind in like a different way, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, definitely. And I also think it's just like the act of getting up and doing something that helped me a lot and helped with my motivation, because after I felt like I could do like yoga and Pilates and all that stuff, that I could tap into more like schoolwork that I really had no motivation to do at first. So
did you find it challenging to ask for help or lean on others for like emotional support or just in general support during the time that you tore your ACL?
Yeah, so I would say I tend to hide my emotions a lot. I am not very emotional, I guess you could say. Like, I try to suppress it and push it down a lot, which is not very good because then you just start to have, like, mental breakdowns of, like, everything. So I started going to therapy, I would say, after my first knee surgery, because I realized, like, yeah, I really, like, need to stop suppressing my emotions and not telling everyone and just pretending like everything was okay. So I started therapy, and that helped me a lot. But at the same time, I felt like no one really went through like the types of injuries that I did, except for my dad. But at the same time, he didn't have to deal with like all this other modern stuff going around, like COVID and stuff like that. So I would say I mostly tapped into therapy and also talking to my dad a little bit, because he also went through 2 knee surgeries when he was around my age. So it was nice to talk to him about it. But overall, I would say it was hard for me to talk to my friends and stuff about it and my family members besides my dad, just because I felt like no one else knew what I was going through, and like no one really knew how deep my emotions were, just because I was acting so surface level with everyone.
Yeah, I think it's so vital, honestly, to like talk about it, because I feel like building the things that you're going through, just like keeping that to yourself, and then it eventually, like, I feel like almost everyone just reaches a breaking point, which is terrible, honestly. Like, I feel like it is so important to reach out and talk to someone.
Yeah, like going off of what Brana said, the idea of just like suppressing your emotions can lead into buildup. Like, your emotions keep leaking out, then it's just going to explode at one point.
Yeah, and I would say also, even though it affected me mentally, like, just by suppressing all of those emotions and stuff, it started to affect me physically, just in, like, my everyday life. And I would have, like, frequent panic attacks and, like, anxiety attacks and just would never want to go to school. So I think it's important to address those emotions, because if you keep talking about it and keep bringing awareness to it, you won't suppress everything down and it just comes out all at once.
And you said that before, that your dad was like, he gave you support and you asked for help from him. So how did your friends and family in general help you stay emotionally grounded?
I would say my parents were the most amount of help, because my dad, I could go to him for advice and he understood everything just because he went through the exact same thing. And my mom helped me more with like the emotional side, and she was super caring, obviously, as like a mother would be, but she was very like open to my emotions, always asking if I needed help. And like, she would stay home from work, like take time out of her day just so I could feel better. We would go out to breakfast again, we would color together. And I think even just spending time with your parents, I know it probably seems super lame to most teenagers, helped me a lot, and it was really nice. So
yeah, I think, as you said, like, you had, like, your parents, and I think, like, just spending time with someone that, like, you really feel supported by, or, like, doing those small things, like you said, like, going to breakfast, or, like, she was, like, coloring with you, yeah, can, like, really have a positive impact on someone's life.
Yeah, I also think social media actually did help me a lot, because I would look up on TikTok other people's stories about their injuries and how they were going through it with, like, the college recruiting process. And I actually think that did help me a lot, just because I could find, like, a certain group of people that were going through the exact same thing or had went through the same thing and how they overcame it.
Yeah, I think many people think social media can be a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in different people's experiences and stories, it can affect them negatively. But in your experience, I agree that social media, sometimes you can connect with people that you usually wouldn't, because you like scroll on TikTok or Instagram and you can see their stories. You can think like, oh, that happened to me too, I'm not alone. So you can create a community through that.
Yeah.
So I know you said your sophomore going to junior year, you said how you got your ACL torn again. So do you want to talk a little bit more about that and if it brought new mental health challenges? Since I know by this point you're experienced with it. Like, yes, it's, you're still recovering from it. You're recovering from the emotional trauma from that. How did this happen again? What were your initial thoughts? Like,
I think it was especially hard just because I knew how much work I put in both mentally and physically, to where I felt really discouraged because I felt like all my hard work was for nothing in a way. And my first thoughts, I was honestly didn't really know what happened, because I was like, okay, well, I felt the pop, which is like the common sign that you tore your ACL, but I don't feel that much pain. So I felt relieved in a way until I went to the MRI room and got the initial diagnosis that I had torn it again. And I was honestly just so worried about how this could happen again and how I was going to go through this again, because I know how much physical and mental pain that it brought me.
Yeah, and I think, as you said, that like the first time you got through your new routine, you started finding new hobbies, so then it became not easier, but like you became more emotionally prepared for it. So we're going to take a short break. We're talking with our guest, Angie Perucci, about the correlation of recovering sport injuries and mental health here on Yana LV. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You've already discovered that this NPR station is an excellent source of news and entertainment, but did you know that this station is a nonprofit? Public radio is for the public, available to all free of charge. That is possible thanks to people just like you who give what they can to support open access to information. So thank you for listening and for making all of this possible.
Call 610-758-8810 or give online at wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Yana LV. We're here with Angie Perucci, and now we'll continue our conversation about the correlation of mental health and recovering sports injuries. So we're talking about your second injury, and how did your second injury bring, and did it bring new mental health challenges like from the first one? Like, was there anything majorly like different or...
Honestly, I would say that my second time around, I felt a little bit better about it just because all the possibilities about the unknown were out of the book and I knew exactly what to expect, like what to do. And I'm definitely a person that like needs like a really strict routine just to, like, keep me in check and stuff like that. So I think it was easier this time just from my past experiences, and being able to use those to help me with my new recovery helped me a lot and helps me to keep on track because, again, I knew what to expect, which was really important to me, and it helped a lot with my recovery process.
Yeah, so how long was this recovery? Because I know this year you started, like, senior year, you started playing soccer. You even tried out for captain. You got it. So do you want to talk about more about that and that transition?
It's honestly a really weird injury because you can go your whole entire life without getting the surgery. You just won't be able to do any contact sports or any sports that involve, like, pivoting movements. So at the end of the day, you can live your life without getting the surgery. You'll be fine. You just can't do any sports. But I knew that I still wanted sports to be a part of my life, even if it wasn't going back to high school soccer or playing club soccer again. I was content in knowing that. But the actual recovery takes around a whole year. So you know you won't be going back to sports, at least in my case, for a whole year, just because I did do some other things to my knee too. The surgery makes you immovable, like you can't walk on your feet without crutches for around 6 weeks, and then you kind of slowly ease into things like walking, eventually running, but you have to wear a knee brace that is really itchy and irritating. So yeah, and then eventually after a year and a lot of physical therapy, you can go back to playing sports again.
Do you want to talk about how it made you feel to get captain? Like, you went through, you said, like, being immobile, sitting in your bed all day, to really being a leader.
Yeah, I think what helped me a lot in getting captain for my soccer team was I kind of came into it knowing, okay, this is my senior year. I'm coming back from two knee surgeries. I know that this is just going to be fun for me, and I'm going to try to make it the most fun for everyone else. So I think going into it, a lot of people saw my positive energy.
As you mentioned that you were the girls' soccer captain this year, mm-hmm. but how were you motivated, and what motivated you to, after your two injuries, to go back and play soccer for your final year of high school? Because many people, after one injury, they give up, and after two injuries, you still kept going.
I think it was just the fact that I wanted to leave high school with no regrets, because I knew that this would probably be the last time in my life that I would be able to play a sport just for fun that was also, like, slightly competitive. But I didn't really see it as competitive at first. I just saw it as, like, I didn't even know if I was going to play, like, on the field, and I didn't know that I would have, like, a starting position or anything. I kind of just did it so I could run around a little, connect with new girls, but also have no regrets leaving high school. And I really thought that this would just let me go out of my comfort zone and also get rid of those mental blocks that I had with running and stuff. And it was really, really hard at first. Like, I remember the first 2 weeks that I went back into my season, like, there would be some points throughout practice girls would, like, tackle me, like, just for fun because it's part of the sport, but I would literally have to stop myself. And I remember my first soccer game going back, I did have a panic attack and I had to go out just because I wasn't used to that level of intensity. So that was really scary.
Yeah, I understand that, especially after your two injuries, going back there is commendable. And I understand that it takes some time to get used to that. Mm-hmm. But it's really awesome that you're doing what you love. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, so do you want to give advice on that for people that might be going through a similar situation, like going through a sport injury and really being scared to return to sports, or really just scared in general to just keep moving forward?
I think my biggest piece of advice, if I could tell myself something for my first injury, it would be, like, not to get discouraged so easily, because I went through a lot of setbacks in my first knee surgery just because of scar tissue and stuff like that. Like, I would potentially have to get a new surgery and stuff like that. I don't know. I would just give myself and everyone else who's going through this to not let the mental blocks discourage you in a way, I guess, and also to work your hardest throughout physical therapy, because you do feel so much more confident going back if you do the work that they give you to, and just to trust your doctors and your physical therapists and even the people around you, because they do want the best for you.
So after going through these difficulties and setbacks, what has this journey taught you about facing this?
I think what it's taught me the most, especially going through two ACL surgeries, would be even after you think you're fully recovered the first time and you end up tearing it again, it's all part of a plan that will make you stronger in the end, because now I have so many more passions and so many more hobbies that I didn't have before. And also, I feel like I am more in touch with myself and, like, really know how to deal with my emotions way, way better than I ever did before.
Yeah, and I think it's great how you're taking this major moment that happened in your life, like the sport-related injury trauma, and you're just taking it and using it as a way of motivation. Like, I know you want to do physical or study physical therapy, right, in college.
Yeah, definitely. And I think just volunteering in a hospital and basically living at my physical therapy center for like 2 years really inspired me. And I think the reason why I wanted to go into physical therapy was because, like, when I looked around and saw these people at, like, every single hospital I've been to and every single physical therapy center, I saw how many people actually do need help. And although I did have a few really good therapists, I also had plenty of bad ones. And so I think it's important to just follow your passion and go use experiences you've already been through to improve a system in a way. And that really inspired me to help change, like, the physical therapy realm.
Yeah, I think especially experiences teach us, like, what we want to do with our future. Mm-hmm. And the idea of your experiences, good and bad, has inspired you to change other people's futures.
Yeah.
Honestly, this idea of, like, what we go through shapes who we are. And, like, it's really a mindset. Like, either you're going to take this, you know, this predicament. Either you're going to sit in your room and think, this sucks, like, you know, my life's over, or you just take this, you run with it, and you just keep using it. Like, it's never gonna go away. You can't change the past. You just gotta keep going. Like, you use it to motivate you once again.
There are some things I think are out of our control, and we can't really change them, as no matter what we try. And many people I know, or in general, something happens to them and they just let it destroy their life, which is one way to take it. And obviously, everyone's challenges and journeys are different. Mm-hmm. But the way that you took the setback that you faced and made it change you and made you change your persona and, like, your passion is, like, a really awesome thing.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was hard at first. And I don't want to say that I automatically just chose to rise above it and stuff, because there was plenty of days where I was so unmotivated, just skipped physical therapy, pretended I was sick, and things like that. But I think in the bigger scheme of things, you kind of have to realize that this is your life now. And again, you can either choose to rise above it or stay where you are. And I think just honestly, another big piece of advice is to stop taking it so seriously, because I know how serious I was about everything physical therapy and just focusing on how my body was reacting and just building up muscle, which made my first experience really different from the second time, because the second time I focused more on my mind and it honestly made things run so much smoother.
So as you mentioned about, like, the differences between physical and mental health, how did you get this transition of focusing on your physical health to then kind of incorporating mental health in that aspect?
I think I just started to realize the second time that obviously whatever I did the first time didn't work. So I needed to focus on new things the second time. And I started seeing a lot of videos, and my dad started giving me more advice about how I can incorporate things that helped my mind. For example, like stretching every single day and just focusing about more of the holistic health helped me a lot, with taking supplements and things like that. Just focusing on more alternative things helped my mind and also helped my recovery, because my second recovery went so much smoother than the first time. And I honestly think it was because I started focusing more on those holistic aspects.
Mm-hmm. I think when, like, challenges arise in our lives, it teaches us when something new happens, you know, what are we going to do different? Again, how are we going to move forward? But, you know, how are we going to persevere through this? Because I'm, like, how you said, how you don't just get over things. You don't just get out of bed all happy. Like, it does take time. For each person, it's all different. It can take years. It can take months.
Yeah, I think it's also cool to see how much this injury has shaped me, because I would honestly say I would not be where I am today if I hadn't gone through these two injuries. And I don't really give myself enough credit a lot, but I'm definitely really proud of where I am now and how it shaped me as a more emotional and in touch with my emotions person, and also helped me physically. Like this year, I made the third team all area, which is like basically where they choose the best players from Lehigh Valley and put them in teams. So I was super proud of myself for accomplishing that because I honestly was not expecting it at all. So it was just like made me feel a lot better about myself and like really reminded me why I played soccer in the first place, not just because of these accomplishments and awards, but because of how much better I feel about myself now.
It's really inspiring, honestly, how you went from this time of, you know, solitude to, you know, being selected as like a top player. And then also you gave a speech at our school to, you know, like hundreds of kids about being a captain, what that was like, and your transit, the process of it.
Yeah, as Brana said, that you were captain this year, and also, if I'm not wrong, you guys went really, really far this year. So how does getting that far, especially this season, with the team inspire you further?
So our team for our high school made it to the semifinals of the PIAA state final, and I think that just shows how much effort we all put in, and it was really exciting just to see how far we would come and knowing that I was a big impact of that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really exciting. So if you could give your younger self advice about mental health during this journey, what would you say to your younger self?
I would tell her to not be afraid. I know that's pretty basic, but like I would say that because at first I was so, so scared of going back on the field. I had so many mental blocks and so many just worries and anxieties that I never really had before about getting injured again. And I was thinking, I was like, I don't know if I can go through this again for a third time. Like, what would even happen if that happened to me? But I started to realize that all of these things happened for a reason and they made me the person that I am today.
I think it's clear to say that I feel like one of the main takeaways is this is from our conversations and from your journey that really adapting to these changes is gonna help you overcome in the long run.
Yeah, and your experiences make you who you are today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and overcoming like your adversities or setbacks and just persevering through them can also help you throughout life and like setbacks you face then.
Just because you go through mental injuries or physical injuries, that doesn't mean you're less weak than anyone. And yeah, that's also what I would tell my younger self.
Yeah.
So we're out of time for this episode. Thank you so much, Angie Perucci, for joining us this evening. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. You can find past episodes at WDIY.org, on the WDIY app, and on major podcast platforms. I'm Brenna Breslin.
I'm Dia Sharma.
And this is WDIY 88.1. We'll see you next time on Yana LV. And remember, you are not alone.